Blog Talk Radio.
Anticipating on having an amazing weekend. Be safe. Take your candy bars with you wherever you go. Keep your head on the swivel. Be careful. Welcome. I am so proud of everybody tuning in. Thank you. Appreciate you taking your time out of your busy day, because I know this is Friday and, you know, either you're off or you're working or in between, you know, schedules or whatever. But I do appreciate you tuning in. Thank you. Thank you. Like and share. Make sure you like and share when you come in on the video. I am doing Blog Talk, so we're doing both. And a Blog Talk, I need to apologize to you. Last week's program didn't upload on Blog Talk, but I am going to redo it so you'll be able to hear it. I found out that it didn't download because I thought it had, and it didn't. And that title is going to be re-downloaded for later on today or tomorrow. So what I need you to do, or you can go on YouTube and pull it up on my YouTube page. My YouTube page is Cassandra Cheek, and you can see it on there also. But let me give you the number for Blog Talk in case you want to call in. Blog Talk, the number is 563-999-3682 for Blog Talk if you want to call in. And let's give you the name of the topic today is the changing of the gods. If you're looking on Blog Talk, is you have to go into the changing of the gods first, and then it's stop drinking their Kool-Aid. It's time. We've been drinking their Kool-Aid a little too long, family, and I think we've gotten used to the taste. So now it's time to change the taste and change and do something different, and we're still stuck on Kool-Aid. It's time to change the drink. Let's just drink a little champagne sometime. Let's change the taste of drinking. Let's drink something new. But I want to discuss two other things before we actually get into the Kool-Aid, okay? Ladies, we need to be very, 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 very careful. I know that the trafficking, the sex trafficking, the numbers are up. We're finding more and more of our men hanging on trees. And I don't know how to try a noose, but they're calling it suicide. So, ladies, I need for you to be very careful. Lisa Guevara, she had on her program about a lady that went to check on what she thought was an apartment. Welcome, welcome. She thought that it was an apartment that she was checking on. It ended up being a boarding house. And the landlord met her there, and she came up missing. So, ladies, when you're checking on these apartments, if you're checking on these dating sites, because I know sometimes we, you know, go on dating sites, which is nothing wrong with it, but you be very careful because you got all kind of predators on these dating sites. We need to be right now. Let me just say one thing, family, black family. The culture right now is so toxic for us as far as dealing with other cultures. We have to be careful what's going on. Okay, we have to really, it's time for us to really see what's happening in the black community. It's time to understand what's happening because for so long we've called our enemies friends. So we don't know who the enemy is now. They look like you, okay? They're black like us, but they operate in a different mentality, okay? We also have, okay, friends that we call enemies that we've called friends for years, and those are the white folks. I'm just saying, I'm going to be so honest. I don't cut cards, but I don't understand how we can call enemies friends in the first place because we have to understand we dropped the ball. Our parents dropped the ball. We got comfortable, and we thought, oh, my God, we got some, you know, our slave master, their children, our, you know, we can get down with them now. No, you never could, especially when Trump got in office. You saw a whole different taste, right? But don't think it's going away because Biden in office. We're going to go there. We're going to be real because I don't think either one is going to do anything for black people. It's going to be black people that do for black people. But I want us to be very careful. This woman went to check on a room, I guess an apartment she thought it was, and got there, and it was a boarding house. And she ended up coming up missing. Now, you talked to the landlord, and he said, oh, I dropped her off at a bus station. Okay, well, my question is, she's looking for an apartment where, you know, wherever they didn't tell us where the apartment was. But if she went there, say like if it's in Georgia, and we going, you know, say, okay, for instance, if it was in New York, she went looking for an apartment in New York, why would I drop her off at a bus station for Georgia if she was in New York and you came there looking for an apartment and now you're telling the family that you dropped her off at a bus station because she was going to Georgia? But come to find out, at the bus station, they didn't have any records of a ticket, didn't have any records of anything. So my thing is, family, that needs to be handled. That landlord needs to be handled. It is time for us to get bold and mad enough, and I don't know what it's going to take for us to get so mad and fed up with dealing with them that we'll be like, look, I am tired of dealing with them. I'm not going to deal with them. I am going to do business with my own. I'm going to be around my own because we're going to have to get used to being around us anyway. We got to get used to being around us. We've been so used to trusting and so used to depending on the oppressors that we've gotten used to it, and that's part of the Kool-Aid I'm getting ready to talk about. We've been depending on them for a long time, and it's almost like it's impossible for us not to depend on them. It's not impossible. We have to get our mentality right. We have to get so tired of doing business with them. We have to get so tired of the toxic behavior, the abuse that we've been getting from them. You have to be so tired of that. Just like a woman married to an abusive husband, you have got to, or boyfriend, you've got to get so tired of that everybody around you could be telling you, girl, you need to go, you need to go, you need to go, you need to leave. And you'd be making all kind of excuses till one day he do something, and it may just be a small, he may just look at you crazy or say something out the mouth crazy, and you'll flip. We don't want to flip. We want to be able to do what we need to do, and let's start doing it now. For this 2024 election, we start thinking about, even for 2022, I think we start voting locally. We can start thinking about who's going to run on here. Nassar Malik, you can run for a city council, you can run for mayor. Philip, you can run for mayor, you can run for city council, we can run for these different offices. Why are we doing it? I just want us to be careful. We cannot take things for granted. You should not be leaving this house without your candy bar. You should not be leaving this house without Lucy or Brad. I'm just saying. You should not be leaving your house without some type of protection by your side. You understand what I'm saying? I don't even need to go and explain what I'm talking about because I think you already know, okay? Also, there was a 15-year-old young man, and this one hurt me to my heart, okay? And I've seen his name is Kwan, Q-U-A-W-A-N, Kwanin? I'm thinking Kwanin, okay? Bobby Charles is his last name. He's 15. Yes, 15. And this one hurt me so bad because here again, we don't know who to trust. We're calling friends. We're calling our enemies friends. He left to go somewhere with his best friend who's white. For one, we should be calling best friends. We should not have any white best friends. We should not have any friends that's white. I'm thinking right now it is time for us to love on us. This is what I'm saying. It's time for us to get back to where we used to be. It's time for us to bring it back home, come from among, be separate, and learn not the ways of your oppressor. And that's where we're messing up, because these learning our ways of learning their ways, it's gonna cost us. Us not coming from among, it's gonna cost us. Us not being separate, it's gonna cost us. And it's costing us already. We just don't understand. Sometimes y'all will allow something to keep continuously happen because you keep continuously being disobedient. And as long as we're being disobedient, nothing is going to change for us. If you don't have sense enough to want to fight for your life or your child's life, who's going to fight for it? Who's going to fight for us, family? The immigrant, the 11 million immigrants that Biden is going to bring into this country, the immigrants that Carmella, her family is going, because you know she's not black. I'm tired of black folks saying, oh, she's black. She's not black. Stop, stop, stop. Carmella has never said she's black. She, on her birth certificate, is not black. She never said she was black. But we keep saying, oh, the first black woman in office. She's not black. She said she didn't even claim to be black. So why are we saying that she's black? She's not. Okay? But this young man left with his white best friend and his mother, okay, the boy, his best friend's mother, okay, left with them, came up dead, came up missing first. And the family called the police and, you know, was trying to find out what's going on. You know, we want to do a police report. They would not let them do a police report. They said, oh, he might be at a football game. Well, I didn't know that we can go to football games now. I'm just saying, can we go to football games, basketball games in school? I didn't think we were doing that right now. But this is what they told the family, that he's at a football game. How do you know? Let's go to a football game and find out. I want to do a missing person, and I want to do it now. But the family, of course, we don't press the issue because we're so afraid that if we call out racism, that they'll call us, they'll put a label on us. But sometimes you have to call a spade a spade. Now, if it had been a little white girl, and my daughter would have picked her up and she came up missing, you think I would be in jail today? I would be in jail. I would have been in jail the same day the little girl came up missing because she was last seen with me. So we're holding the mom of that 15-year-old, his best friend, we're holding her responsible for this child's murder. We're holding her. And if the mom does not, then that's on you. That's up to you. I'm tired of black stuff happening to us, and we make all kind of excuses while it's not race-related. Or we don't want any, you know, we want to do a visual, but we don't want it to be violent. We don't want it to get out of hand. Well, your son's murder was out of hand, so why is it that we don't want to call it what it is? Why is it that we are so careful about calling out racism in America? It is time for us to call a spade If you know that it's racism, just like when that young woman ran over that 7-year-old little girl and left her in the street to die, and then she went up the street and called the police and told the police what happened, and that was a hit and run for one because she left the scene. You didn't call the police before you left the scene. You hit the little girl, looked out, and kept driving. Then she told the police that, oh, hit the little girl. Her friend came and got her, and her friend, you know, little girl told me she was okay, and she rode off on her bike. No, you should have done a little more than that. You should have got out the car for one, called that little girl's mother, called the police, called an ambulance, because a whole car hit this baby. She's 7. So you don't know what internal injuries was done. So she called the police and kept going. The police said, okay, we're good, and never picked her up, told the family they weren't pressing charges. It's not about that. Told the family that the lady said the little girl was okay, and it was okay, and everything was okay, and she did the right thing. Okay, she did the right thing. So how do you handle that, family? Put me some stuff. How do you handle stuff like that when the police don't do what they're supposed to do, and these white folks acting like terrorists? You handle it the way you're supposed to. My thing is, I would have went to her house, and we would have had some talking, some hands-on talking. Because you hit my daughter, you left her for dead, and now you're not going to pay any consequences? Oh, you're going to pay something. Brother, you're going to go behind bars? Well, I'm going to have to, we're going to talk with man. I'm so tired of us making excuses of why it's okay to mistreat us. and we don't do anything about it. So guess what? As long as you're not forcing the issue, they're going to keep doing it. As long as we don't put our foot down, just like Cardi B, she just she did this Indian thing of Kamala Harris, right? And the Indians got mad. And what'd they do? Oh, they was up in arms. They was on her case. What did she do? She apologized. Yes, the heck she did. But if that was somebody, if she had offended the black community, do you think they would apologize? They don't ever apologize to us for anything that they do. I've never seen one case where they've apologized for doing anything to us. I don't know. Maybe you've seen. If you've seen a case, put it in the chat because I want to see because I want to look it up. Because I've never seen where they've apologized for doing anything horrible to us, anything. All of the trauma we've gone through with them, they've never apologized. They've never apologized. And plus, right now, I don't want to hear apology. Show me a check. Show me a check the way you've shown the Jews, the way you've shown everybody, or show me a check. We have got to be careful, you guys. We have got to stop taking things for granted and sitting up here allowing just anything. Well, I don't want to, they're going to say this and they're going to say that. And let them say what they want to say. Truth is truth. Let the truth come to them. It's time for truth, family. It is time for us to treat them the way they treat us. It's time for us to start showing up and showing out. It's time for us to do it to them. Okay, close that door right there. I'm sorry, I'm talking about it. It's time for us to do some things different. It is time for us to make some changes. Now, when you get tired enough and you get tired of dying, you get tired of allowing them to kill you free with no charges, not only do the police get to kill you now, but you have white people that's carrying guns now. They're killing folks too. Boston Jean, okay? She got 10 years. She got more than that. We got people with drug charges that got more time than her. Tell me, I don't understand that. I'm just saying. Carmella made these laws, and she was a prosecutor, and she put one young man away for, 27 years on a robbery. He was robbing. He was robbing somebody. 27 years? That's a nonviolent offense. 27 years. Boston Jean, Amber Geiger, shot him, came into his house. He was sitting down there eating ice cream. She came in his house, shot him dead, and got 10 years. What the hell? Come on. You guys, what's going on here? We have to start doing unto others as others do unto us. We do to them. That mom who came and got that child and now don't have any answers, the police, I guess they questioned them and, went to the house and say what happened or whatever. And because they're white and they say so, you get away with murder? You mean you came and got this child? I come to your house. You didn't even get the parents' permission. He's 15. But guess what? If my 15-year-old leaves my house, somebody better have some permission. That parent better be to call me before you come to my house picking up anybody. I'm just saying. You don't leave to come and pick up somebody's child and you not talk to the parent. I don't know today's parents and maybe, but back in my day, you talked to the parent and I made sure that the atmosphere was safe. I made sure where we're going, how we getting there, who gonna be there. You got any, I'm asking questions because safety for my child is everything. But I'm gonna tell you what, my child wouldn't be spending the night at white Becky's house anyway. I didn't let my kids go to white folks' house. I didn't because a whole lot of stuff happened at their house. Don't happen to mine. And you touch mine, it's on. So I'm going to keep mine safe. I'm going to keep them with me, and I'm going to keep them safe. That's the only way I knew how to keep my kids safe, was keep them with me. Because other folks do not treat the child. So I'm just saying, he was 15, come up dead. And how do you go to a parent and say, hey, or he's just missing. How do you go up to a parent and say, hey, I had your child. I took your child somewhere. And now your child is dead. How do you, and I don't know where he died. I don't know how he got missing. I don't know. You don't even know anything about, this whole story never came out. This is the story that we got. I'm giving you the story that was given to us. No questions. What was you taking him for, one? Who said you could take him for two? When did he come up missing for three? Was it before you got to the destination or in the midst of the destination? Did you stop at a gas station and he jumped out the car? Or did he go to the bathroom and never come back? Or what happened? We don't even have a story. All these inconsistencies and nobody. The gag party regarding Republicans. What's that? I don't know what that is. Corinne, welcome, welcome. The gag party regarding the Republicans. What is that? I don't know what that is. Oh, Black Mumble, Militia, welcome. My thing is, it's time for us to understand what's really going on. What is really going on? When did he come up missing? Was he in your car? Did you guys go to the mall and he went to the bathroom and he never came back? Or did you guys stop somewhere at a food line you went in, you came back, both boards was missing, or the friend didn't see nothing, and him and the friend were supposed to be together, right? But the friend never saw anything. So I'm trying to understand what happened. When did the 15-year-old get missing? I don't understand that. So somebody, I need some answers. And this is what I would tell the mom. I need some answers because I don't understand, okay? I don't get it, okay? But we have to start being more vigilant, and we're just trusting too many people. We are trusting too many people. Seriously. There is no reason for us to just allow our children to go. There's no reason. These people come and get your child and you're okay? No. These people come and get, they don't even call and say, hey, I'm going to take your son over here and blah, blah, blah. No details, no nothing. You just come and get a 15-year-old and you don't say anything? No. This is why I tell us it's time for us to stop drinking their Kool-Aid. And when I say that, what I mean is because if they're paying your house note, you work for them, right? You work with them, you work for them. You know, you're working, say like you're working at McDonald's, you're working in their company, which is what we do. And for our entertainers, we know that they're paying our entertainers. So they have to think and they have to do and they have to say what they want them to say. They can't speak their mind. They can't say what's on their heart, or else because if you make Massa mad, just like Anthony Cannon, he made Massa mad, and what happened? He ain't got none of his stuff back. They used him. They've been pouring into his mind, changing his mind about who they are. Okay, but you already had the truth, so you can go to your enemy and try to get their truth. You already had your truth, so you went to the enemy and got their truth, so now you're good. But they said, okay, if you let us do this, you let us do this, and you let us do this, you're going to get your show back. I don't know if he got his show back or not. I don't know what all he did or didn't get back. But my thing is, our entertainers have been entertaining for a long time. But we could have had our own entertainment system. Dr. Boyce Watkins, I'm just amazed at him because he is coming up with a black film, okay, a black film thing, okay? And I've just seen it on Facebook or YouTube, I'm sorry. But it's time for us to have our own. Our basketball. Football. We could have had our own football league, baseball, basketball league. I don't understand why enough of them had not put their money together in group economics and purchased something so that black people can entertain each other. We can entertain. We'll put our own stuff on there. It's for too long. We've been waiting, you know, and we've been allowing them to cater to us as far as the music, okay, and they give us the most disgusting music you can find. We've been allowing them to, on TV, showing us different movies, and it's the most disgusting. I don't want to see homosexuality to me and laying up doing nothing. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I don't want my granddaughter. We were watching a movie, and I'm telling you, Tyler Perry, he is just getting so disgusting. I don't even want to watch anything that he has because everything he has is homosexual something. I mean, two men in the bed getting, I mean, come on. What? I remember Tyler Perry first came out. And he had no sexual scenes, none. Everybody had clothes on. Now, please, I don't know what they had on, but I'm telling you, I don't know. But I'm very questionable about him. I don't know what in the world going on with him, but I don't like it. But I'm just, we have to get it together, you guys. We got to stop. We have to stop. We've allowed them to teach our children. We're still drinking from that Kool-Aid. Now, you know. History tells you that they've been teaching our children wrong, right? I'm not saying anything that's not been proven to be devastating for us. Every time we allow them to do something for us, it's devastating on us, on our children, schools. Then they created the school-to-prison pipeline, right? We see that, but we still didn't change anything. We still didn't stop our children from going. We still didn't stop them from teaching our children. We continue to allow them even till today to still teach our children, knowing that the school is prison. It's the prison pipeline from school to prison, right? We know that. What are we doing different about it? Well, they won't get mad. How do you know? I'm just saying. You know what's going on, but we won't change anything. We have a job. You come to work and you got to please. You got to. If they don't like you, you get a bad rap. If they don't, if you come to work and you don't, you, your hair is braided, they don't like your braids, you get a bad evaluation. Well, they don't like that you're, for me on my job, I'm more, the way I act on my job is the way I act right in front of you. This is how I act. I don't be tolerating white folks, and they know it. They ask me something crazy. I said, do you want the answer to that? When I say that, when they ask me something crazy, and I ask you, do you really want the answer to that? And they say, yes, I give them my answer to that. It's how I feel. Me being black, how I feel, how you are. Because they'll ask me all the time, you don't want the answer to that. Because if you want the answer, I'm going to tell you. Because now when they ask me something crazy and I say that, they be like, oh, that shit, she going to get you. Oh, I'm going to get you. That's why I ask you, do you really want the answer? Are you really ready to be delivered? Are you really ready for your thinking to change? I have a Facebook page, okay? And I'm in 30 days prison again for Facebook because I always say something to say, because they want to tell you what you can and can't say. I'm grown. You can't tell me what I can and can't say, okay? My thing is we are an adult, and our First Amendment said that we are free to speak, right? Okay, they want to take that away from you on Facebook and YouTube. No, you can't tell us what we can and can't say. So they always want to censor me, so I'm always in jail. But I do have a Facebook page, and it's called Hard Truth, HARDTRUTHZ12, okay? That's Hard Truth, and I mean I put stuff on there, it's raw. So if you ain't ready for it, and I got a lot of white folk on there. Nobody on there. They always ask me, when I say, oh, you ready to learn? Because I got the Willie Smith Syndrome on there, and I say, are you ready to learn? It's the truth, black truth, not your history truth. And they go, yeah, it's okay, join on. Go ahead and join. But I let them have it. I'm putting everything out there. And I don't have no comments. They just read it. I don't know why they're on there. But if you want black truth, there it is. But my thing is, it's time for us to be truthful with ourselves. It's time for us to really dig deep and understand, because the way we deal with this election, we just allowed, we gave permission to white supremacy again. And you say, oh, one was more outright with his white supremacy than the other. But guess what? It was still white supremacy. Even with Carmella, that's why she is. She's white supremacy. A lot of black people are filled with white supremacy against themselves, against us, against each other. A lot of black folk are mind frame, Coons mind frame. That's a white supremacy mind frame. White folk have trained you how to think about yourself and your own, so you treat your own and treat yourself the way they have shown you to. That's what Coons do. That's what Candace Owens do. She married a white man. So she thinks like him. She thinks white. She has been trained how to think here. So this is why he married her, because she's safe. I look at people's profile, and I look to see who are they surrounded with. If you're surrounded with like a lot of white folks and you're black, I ain't rocking with you, because I already know how your mind frame. You don't have the same kind of mind frame. I don't have white friends. None. Not one. Period. Period. They ain't going to hang with me. Because I call it out and I say, and I know they get tired. At work, when they say something, I call out that racism. One white woman, she goes, oh my God, she'd be like, oh my God, she can't stand it. Truth, I don't care, like it or not, it doesn't matter. But my thing is, I'm not going to hide who I am. I have a job where I can do that. Okay, I'm just saying. But we have jobs out here. It's some of these platforms where you can't speak your mind, just like the NBA. They can't, you know, they can't do and say what they want to say. They can't get on TV and call them Jews, whatever. They can't say what they want to say, can they? You understand what I'm saying? Without somebody coming back and saying, oh, you anti-whatever. Get out of here. You ain't nothing. You don't even have no Shemitic in you. You don't have no Shemitic, so you got to have some Shemitic in you for us to, oh, you whatever. Get away. No. You're whatever. Stop, move. You know who you are. Revelation 3:9. I know they stole your identity. Who? Think about that. Then you tell me who we're talking about. Whatever. But we have to, it's time for us to stop drinking their Kool-Aid. We didn't drunk it for so long. We addicted. We can't even get free. This dude put half, I think about Biden, and I think about, you know, black folks were so excited. Oh my God, we won! They were so excited. I'm like, what the hell are you excited about? What did you win? What did he say he was giving you? What did he say? What did they say? They didn't say they was giving you anything. First 100 days going to immigrants. First 100 days going to LGBT, but they'll tell you, we can't do nothing for just black folks. That's what Carmella told us. No, I'm not going to do anything for just black people. That's what she said. And then she also said that his law, Biden's law, was had something to do with the incarceration of black males. She said it out of her own mouth. And I showed you on my last program what she said about him. And she wasn't rocking with him. But now, all of a sudden, now he wants you to be vice president. You rocking with him. Did your mind frame change? So we're going to promote two races, two of the same, because Carmelo acts the same way as Biden up here. Her and Biden, she's just a female Obama. She's a female Biden to me. She made laws, and she protected laws. She didn't make none, but she went by some laws that that Biden put on the books, and she wrote them laws, honey. She wrote them. She wrote them. She made them. She made them hers. Because the police will tell you. The police will tell you, okay? Carmela was our person. They backed her. So the police union is backing somebody. Do you think they're rocking with you? They need us. They need us to survive, you guys. But we drinking their Kool-Aid. We letting them lead us by the nose. We letting them lead us into wherever. No, it's time for us to lead them. They don't lead us nowhere. They don't lead us anywhere. They will have a perpetual hatred for us. That's what the word says. And do they not? I seen a movie, and I watched, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, but I was watching with my granddaughter, and we just, you know, flicking through and watching, you know, appropriate stuff. And sometimes I'm watching it, how they act, and I'm watching it, what they say, and I'm watching one movie she called. I don't even know the name of it, but it was one girl, her dad had killed himself, and she blamed somebody else. So she had a relationship with a Jamaican. She was white, and she had a sexual relationship with a Jamaican man, and she needed him, so she called him, and she got the giggling, and she put the little, you know, the voice, you know, sexual voice on, and you know, she was, well, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to do that, and she was just, soaking it down. When she got off the phone, she was like, oh, God, you know, like it was disgusting her. But guess what? That's what it is in real life. They'll laugh in your face, but behind your back, they talking about you. They dogging you. They're trying to plant. They're planning your demise. Biden and Kamala planning our demise. They talking about that vaccine. He's very much for that vaccine. Him and Bill Gates, a man is trying, who's not a doctor but giving shots. He's trying to depopulate the earth, and him and Biden are going to be working together. So you guys have just put a nail in your own coffin. They're getting ready to bring 11 million immigrants. So if you don't have your own business and we are not supporting each other now, we're in trouble. He's giving $300 million to the KKK. That's been murdering us. He's getting ready to give money to them. I'm just saying. I know y'all know this. I'm just telling you. We wanted to get a racist out of office and put another one in office. If we put one in office, it's not so loud as the last one, okay? Because we had a loudmouth racist before who told you exactly what he thought. Biden ain't telling you nothing, but he's showing you. That's the difference. Trump talked it, but he didn't show you. Biden ain't talking it, but he's showing you. So which one you want? You want somebody to show you how racist they are? Or you want somebody to tell you how racist you are? Seems like you want the one that's going to show you. You want the one that's going to show you, not the one that's going to be loud mouth and tell you everything. And that's what Trump was. But you didn't like that because the media told you. Oh, my God, you need to get him out of the office. He's no good for black people. But every time something came up with Biden's son, well, Biden's son was messing with a 14-year-old, wasn't he? Getting high, smoking crack, messing with a 14-year-old. You better believe he's worse than Trump. Both of them worse. Both of them devils. But we are not understanding that. We are not seeing it. We were so glad because you have to understand, black folk are devoted Democrats, devoted. But over the years, the Democrats have done more harm than good to black people. Clinton, remember Clinton? Remember that law he wrote, the three strikes, that put a whole boatload of our men in jail, right? And Biden came and wrote another one and put the other half in jail. But y'all love the Clintons, and the Clintons hate black folks. Remember Margaret Sanger? Hillary Clinton, she said that's her hero. Margaret Sanger was over Planned Parenthood dummies. I'm sorry, I ain't going to call y'all that today. I'm gonna be nice to black folks today. This is not, I just want black people to wake up. It is time for us to smell the coffee, family. It is time for us to understand what's really going on, and it is time for us to get off of their Kool-Aid. It's time for us to create our own Kool-Aid. We want to manufacture our own. We want our own political party. That's what we need right now. We need to run for some of these offices. We need to run for, let me see. Thank you, brother. We need to start running for some of these offices. The city council, And what we can do, let me just show you how easy it'll be if this is what we really want to do. We can put a party together, and we can put $10 a month. No, every 2 weeks. Let's do $20 a month. How about that? $20 a month, $10 every 2 weeks. Everybody can act like that's a tax, and we can put into the fund. And the black person, if you want to run for city council, we check you out, you be one. We'll take some of that fund, and we'll back you financially, okay? We can do this nationwide. It don't just happen to be in Tennessee. It don't have to just be in one city, Virginia. It don't have to just be in Louisiana. It could be nationwide, a nationwide fund. Well, every black person puts $10 into a kitty every 2 weeks. You get paid, put $10 aside, $20 a month. And say, like, for instance, if I want to run for city council, okay, I'm going to start now because in 2 years city council is going to run, and we're going to start doing our homework now. It's going to take maybe $1,200, $1,500 for me to run for city council. We're still packing the kitty, okay? We're building the kitty, right? So we can run, so we can do this nationwide. So we have money in the kitty to run for office. We have to put skin in the game. We have to put money in the game. Nationwide, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Nationwide. We put money in the game, money in the kitty, money behind. Because every candidate, every culture that votes, let me tell you what, they put money behind that person. They don't even run the vote. The Chinese, the Jews. They don't run the vote. They see who's the candidate. They write a list out of their demands. They write a check and say, okay, I have $500,000. I have $1 million behind. This is what I want done. Who's going to do it? The one that's going to do what's on their list, that's who gets the money. They don't run out and vote. They don't care who's voting because they know they're getting ready to buy their way through. Black folks, the only folks I know, run out and vote for anybody and don't put no money behind anybody. So you wonder why the Black Caucus is not backing black people? Because black folk are not backing the Black Caucus with money. You have to back somebody with some money because guess what? They're not going to do it if you're not coming to a table with a check. You're talking about you want reparations. Where your money? Who you backing? Who said they were going to give you reparations? I didn't hear Carmelo or Biden. I didn't hear neither one of them devils tell you, oh, we're going to do something. I heard them say that what they weren't going to do for black people. And then black folk ran and bailed this cracker out, bailed this racist devil out. He thanking black folk, thank you, but what the hell are you going to do for us? You thanking us, but what are you going to do for us? I still didn't see what you, in 100 days what you're going to do anything for black people. I didn't see black nothing on that list. I see minorities. That's not talking about us. When they talk about minorities, they're not talking about you, black folk. They don't come out and say BLACK. They're not talking about you. So stop thinking that they're talking about you. They're not talking about you. They're talking about everybody else. They're talking about the hunchback. They're talking about the white women. They're talking about the one-legged man. They're talking about the half. They're talking about the frog, the man that might look like the frog. They're not talking about you. You have to understand that. But it's so hard for us to recognize our enemy. And sometimes, Carmela, she's not black. I keep telling y'all she never said she was, but because she looked black, we can't determine, we can't see, ooh, is she black or not? She didn't come out and tell you she wasn't black. On her birth certificate, she didn't tell you she's not. But she already told you what she's not going to do for us. But we didn't care. We just wanted a look-alike black woman who acts just like Biden. That is a female Biden, honey. You think they're going to, and you were excited about it. I mean, I cannot believe how excited we got about that. We got excited, boy. We thought, you would have thought they wrote us a check for reparations. I was like, did we get reparations? What happened? What happened? Where did we get the check? We got absolutely nothing. But you got excited because you bailed out white America. It's not for us to fight for them. It's not for us to bail them out. They need to start bailing you out. You are a devoted Democrat, and you're looking for them to do absolutely nothing. I had one lady tell me, I said, you voted for them. What did they promise you? She said, oh, they don't have to do anything for me. I'm not expecting anything. Are you freaking crazy? You sound like an idiot. I'm sorry. I hate stupid people to tell me they're not going to do anything. I don't need them to do anything for me. Who says that? What do black people say that? Stop it. What do you mean? Why are you giving them your vote if you're not looking for them to do anything for you? Why are you voting? We vote to get something, right? No? Or did they change that? We don't have to expect anything. You vote to get something. You don't give something for nothing. That's I don't know where they do that at. Oh, black folk do that. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Only black people do that. But the Jews, I didn't hear them saying, oh, you don't have to do anything. We're going to give you this $1 million and you don't have to do absolutely nothing. We're good. I didn't hear the Indians saying that. I didn't hear the LGBT saying that. But everybody is in that Biden's plan, but who? But the ones that say, I don't need anything. He said, good, because I'm not going to give you anything. Because I know you're not expecting that, and I'm not going to give you, and I already told you. So I'm not even going to put you in a plan. Because I already know this. You already know where you stay with me. And we do know. So it's time for us to understand what mindset do we need right now? Let me help you with the mindset. Let's change the mindset. Let's get into another. Let's think the mindset. Us, black first, only. We're not thinking about Sarah. We're not thinking about Brad. We're not thinking about how we're going to help America. We helped them already. You did enough. We didn't put Trump in there, but yet we kicked him out. We backed Biden. We back in a party that forever and a day has did nothing but harm black people. I'm going to get back on that. The Democratic Party has done nothing over the years to hurt black folks. Look at the history of black. When are we going to get that? Every time they're in office, we go through hell with the Democrats. They do nothing for us. Every time they get in office, they hurt you. But it's almost like an abuse of heaven. You let him home, he beat the hell out you. You kick him out and bring him back in. He beat the hell out you, bring him back in. When do we get tired of being knocked around? When do we get tired? I'm tired now, little child. I'm tired. We need our own party. And then have, you know what, black folks going to say, oh, we don't need our own party. What are we going to do? They're going to start complaining then. Well, then what do you want to do, family? What do you want to do? Are you trying to be free? Are you trying to be a slave for the rest of your days? Are you trying to die as a slave because you're still a slave? Because I'm free. No, you're not free. If you was free, you would have your wealth. If you were free, you'd have your own business. If you were free, you have your own educational system. If you were free, you wouldn't be overpopulated in the prison system. If you were free. We can't even get free here, so how are you free anywhere else? It's first here. It's first here, but you got to be free in your heart first. Then it's up here. So what's the plan? What's the plan? How are we going to be free? How are we going to be free? I want to talk about a couple of more of the entertainers. I think about Tiger Woods and how he married a nanny. Sometimes these men, our black men, they'll marry white women that white men don't even want. But this woman was a nanny, okay? She married him, and I think they had, two or three kids? I think it was two, if I'm not mistaken. First time he did something, what happened? She took half his. And that dude, he ain't been no more good since. She took half of what he owned. And what happened? And ain't been back. Half. Dr. Dre. His wife. Well, how much? It's so many black men that were married to white women that drunk the Kool-Aid. Instead of you marrying a black woman who struggled with you all the time, you go out there and you marry a white woman who don't even know your struggle. You can't even talk about your struggle. She wouldn't even understand your struggle. Has no idea about a black man's struggle. But you'll marry you're unequally yoked with a white zero. You'll leave a 10. To go to a zero when you think you got something. Have you seen them when they're like 20 years down the line? Have you seen them? Come on, dude. Black don't crack. I'm just saying. But you'll marry one of them because they look all fresh at 21. Then you see them at 31, they look like they're 51. What? You leave a 10 for a zero and think you got something. You think you leveling up. You think you ain't doing nothing, dude. That's just showing how ignorant you are. That's showing how dumb you are. That's showing how you're not free mentally. That's showing that. Because you didn't win and got you a zero. That's showing how backwards you are. That's what it's showing. It's not showing freedom. It's not showing that you've grown. It's not showing that you've leveled up. It's not showing that you've invaded. It's not showing anything. It's just showing them how stupid you are. And, yeah, he's still a Negro. That's what it's showing. We still got him. He's still drinking the Kool-Aid. It's time to get up off that Kool-Aid. It's time to do some things different. It's time. Because every time they marry y'all, they leave y'all, they take half your wealth. and that is a plot and a plan. They give you the money, entertainers, my stars, you marry these dysfunctional, you making all this money, you giving it right back. What's that man? What's the boy? What's the ball player name? What's the one that died? Kobe. Yeah, million. Who got it when he died? Anybody black get it? No, she was Spanish, right? She wasn't black. Is that money going back to the black neighborhood? Welcome, melanated. Is anybody black getting that money? No. So you get to the place where you're drinking their Kool-Aid, so you're thinking like them. You partying with them. I don't think Kobe had one black friend other than his teammates, maybe. Okay, but I'm just saying. Look at the surroundings. A lot of our black entertainers are surrounded by white folks. Oprah got Gayle, but a lot of times you look at her, her assistant is white. She didn't get no black assistant. I'm just saying, I want you guys to see when you're drinking their Kool-Aid, what happens? You get overran by them. You got them all in your life everywhere. Everywhere you look, you can't have no black assistants, no black this, no black lawyer, no black doctor, no black nothing. Because everybody's white because I made it and I think I didn't make it. You get some money, you move out the black neighborhood, you move into a white neighborhood because you think you didn't made it. And then you go up there and you get serial killers because you're around them and they don't want you around them. Then what happens? I remember one story where, remember the man that was trying to go in the church, and the kids had just left the church and they had just locked the door. He actually went, tried to get into the church and couldn't get into the church. So he went to the Kroger's and he shot two black people. He shot the woman and the man. And the woman's family said, oh, she just moved there. She was living in this kind of neighborhood, and she moved out of that neighborhood trying to be safe. So she thought moving around her enemy, she was safe. This is how messed up here we are. She thought because she left a black neighborhood that she was going to be safe in a white neighborhood. What happened? She was at the Kroger's. He came in the Kroger's shooting, shot her and another black man. Yeah, they were safe around their own. They're safe. They were safe, but she wasn't. But she left a black neighborhood to go and live around them devils. And that's how sick we are, because we think being around us, we're not safe. But she moved into a neighborhood with them, and what she had today? Dead. Because she was safe. She thought she was safe. Yes, Kobe was. Yes. And you have a lot of black folks, not just black. It's not even just the black men. You got Angela Rye. You got Joy Reid. You got even Roland Martin. Y'all think Roland Martin, he black? That dude ain't got no black heels. He is not B1, honey. Roland Martin is not B1. Y'all need to understand that. That dude convinced y'all to vote for Biden. Yes, we do. We work hard just to live around people that hate us. Yes, we do. That's the craziest thing. We'll do anything to hang around them. I keep telling y'all how these people, let's see if anybody calling. I keep telling you about these people that one guy, he had these friends, and he went on a boat trip. I keep talking about the story, and the girl that went on a sleepover, she was a grown woman. You had a sleepover with white folk, okay, like 10, 8 or 10 women. I think it was a couple guys there, not sure, but I think I heard that there was a couple guys there. But you had a sleepover, okay, and it's 8 of y'all there. You're the only black. And what happened to her? She died. Woke up, everybody, went to bed, everybody went to sleep except her. She was out there fighting for her life and died. And guess what? Nobody was arrested. You know why? Well, we don't know what happened, but she's in your house. Where's the owner of the house at? Let's talk to her. Well, she went to bed. We woke up. She was dead. You didn't hear nothing? You didn't hear nothing. You ain't seen nothing. The woman outside your front yard dead. But ain't nobody hear nothing. Really? Really? God, I don't know. What's it going to take? Please help me. What's it going to take? They did reopen her case. Did anybody come up? Was anybody charged for her case? What about the black man? The same thing with the black guy. He was swimming. He was out there on a boating trip and with his coworkers, and they were all white. They had several different stories of how he got in this water. Somebody say he jumped. Somebody say somebody say he fell. Somebody said you had all these different stories about this guy who jumped out the boat into the water. What happened? Several different stories, nobody was arrested. Tell me why. Stop hanging around these devils. Stop it. They're showing you, history has shown you how they are and what they feel about you. History don't lie. All you got to do is look at your history. Look at Biden's history. Look at Kamala's history. And you couldn't wait to give them your free vote. Are you crazy? What's wrong with us? I'm so mad at black folk right now. I don't know what to do. I'm so mad. I'm so tired of them. We just allow them to keep using us. Here, take this. And we look and we didn't give it all out. We ain't got nothing else to give. Now what you going to give? You gave them your vote free. What you going to get from it? What you gonna get for it? You was excited. You put white daddy. You put another white supremacy over you. When are we gonna put us over us? Tell me that. When are we gonna put us over us? When are we going to start looking out for each other? I know we won't get them all. I know we can't get them all. I know that, family. I know that. We ain't gonna get them all. But the ones of us that want to do, we move forward. And you're going to have some on the sidelines watching. So as this boat goes, they'll jump on the boat, okay? And you're going to have some that's going to stick with the white folks. Good. Stay over there. Because if you come over here and you start clowning, we're going to handle our business with you. I'm just saying, it's time for us to handle our business. I'm going to tell you what, that white woman that came, got that 15-year-old son, that was my child, you think I wouldn't handle her business? Oh, you're going to tell me something. I wouldn't even have to go to cops and investigate nothing because I'm investigating myself because I know you're not going to give me no answer. But you're going to tell me, you're going to have the balls to come and tell me my son is what? And I'm not doing nothing to you? I'm going to just have a visual? Oh, I'm going to have a visual for you and him. He ain't going to go by himself. He definitely ain't going by himself. I'm just saying. Don't act a fool with mine. If you don't want what you gave mine, you don't want it back, then you better stand to your man. I think about the McKinley, Melissa McKinley. I think about her son. And I think about what they did to her son. You know, she found her son. And this was, Louisville, right? The same place with Brianna. If I'm not mistaken, the same place. Okay, it was so many of those, that was when Michael Brown died, okay? It was so many of those activists that came up dead, like Darren Fields, I think that's what, and a couple others that came up dead and her son. They didn't touch her, they got her son, okay? Okay, I'm going to tell you what, I'd have told that country, I'd have told that city up. Everybody I thought was involved. I'm so sick of us just sitting here and we just don't do nothing. We don't fight back, we just cry. And then I don't want you to tear up the city. I'll burn it down. I don't care. Burn everything that you come in contact with until you tell me what happened to mine. You ain't killing mine for free. I don't understand it either, melanated. I'm trying to understand that now. Why does anybody black have any white friends? I don't understand. And I go out and I see them, you know, hanging out, and I see a lady at work came in, you know, she had one of my shows, I had my head tied up in my little bonnet or whatever. And she said, oh, gosh, I love that. And she said, one of my daughter's friends was visiting at the house. And now her husband is racist, okay, right. Let me just tell you what she said to me. She said, well, my husband didn't, you know, he didn't like it. And I told him, don't do it, you know, whatever. But I'm going to tell you what, my child would have never been there in the first place. And I blame the parent. But her daughter friend was mixed. So I understood why she was hanging around the white girl. Because her mom, somebody in her family, either mom or dad was white. So she's relating to that. But a lot of times those white kids, mixed kids, relate more to white folks than they do black. I'm just saying. So I understood. Okay, yeah. But she was talking about the bonnet, and that's what we're talking about. But the point that she came and slipped out and said was how her husband felt about that black girl spending the night at his house. You know what I'm saying? But my thing is, that's on the mama, because you wouldn't have mine over there. I don't trust me around you, but I'm going to give you my child. And that's what we have to get back to. We have to get back to us educating our own. Exactly. Those are our communities. What do you mean? Do you own any of those buildings? That bothers me. We're not burning our communities. Those aren't our communities. Those are gentrified communities. Communities that they gentrified. Those aren't our own communities, nothing. Those communities are communities that they built, because most of them are Arab businesses, right? Pakistanians, 7-Elevens have what? Mexicans. Those are our, you got these Mexican folk with these trucks now. You seen that? But you won't give black folk a loan to get a truck, but you'll give it to the Mexicans, huh, who aren't even, who are immigrants. And half of them don't even understand English. And then they ain't washing their hands when they serving them food. I don't even go to the truck. Yeah, I don't even know. You ain't nowhere to wash your hands, and you fixing food all day and touching money. No. I'm just saying, this is what we have to be tired of. When black folk get tired, let's talk about the mindset. The mindset has got to be we're tired. The mindset has got to be that we want to see black folk in business, black folk in charge, black folk, black. That's what we want to see. But most black folk don't even want to do business with their own. Most black folk don't even want to live around their own. Most black folk don't even want to have anything to do with their own. Most black people would rather hang around white folk and take their chances. Just like I've seen Africans going to the Arab nations and they're, like, coming up missing. Okay, they're going to Arabia. They're going to all these Arab countries, and they are selling them as slaves, okay, selling them into slavery, and they're taking their passports when they get there. They're telling them they're going for one reason, and they're going for something totally different, and they're taking the passport so they can't even come back. And some of them are coming up dead. And some of them coming up missing. Some of them body parts are, you know, trafficking and stuff. Sex trafficking, body trafficking, all kind of stuff is going on. But they know that, but you keep going. I'm going to tell you what. I don't care what. We're going to make some mud pies. We're going to eat some grass. We're going to boil some greens for some grass for some greens. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing. We're not going over there. I'm not going. Just like I was talking about, we were talking about going to Africa, okay? I was talking about going to Egypt. I'm not going to Morocco. I'm not going to South Africa. I don't want to deal with no white folk. I don't want to have nothing to do with white folk. Okay, the less white folks is where I'm going. Well, I ain't got to look at them because I can stay in America and look at white folks. I'm just saying, I don't have nothing to do with them Arab, them nations over there. Okay, Egypt got more white folks. Yeah, you call it part of Africa, but guess what? They ain't the right part of Africa. You got too many of them, okay, non-melanated people over there in that part. Morocco, Egypt, and South Africa and all them other places. I do not want to go where you have more of them than Africans, real Africans, black ones. First white Africans I met. He told me, I'm from Africa. I said, what? You're from Africa? I'm from South Africa. I was like, oh, wow. No. So my thing is, we have to change our mindset. We have to get to the place where we are tired of what we're seeing. We're tired of being abused. We're tired of allowing. We're tired of being walked on. We're tired of being doormats. We're tired of them making an excuse why it's okay to mistreat us. We're tired of them telling us what you can't do for us, but you're doing for everybody else. We're tired. We have to be tired of that. We have to demand. We have to make our demands, and we have to do group economics. This is what Dr. Claude Anderson told us. We have to do group economics. If we ever want us to change, it is time for us to do group economics and buy, purchase, protect, provide financially for each other. It is time out for us giving our money. And I still see black folk going to Chinese Chinese places, Chinese getting your nails done. I still see this after you've seen things. After you've seen how they treated you, after you see how they treat Africans, after you see how they tell you that we feel that you are beneath us. They've said that about black people. But what do we, and I've seen T.I., and this would really piss me off. One guy had went into a Chinese restaurant, and he was a black guy. And they discriminated against him because he had gym shoes on. But and he said the Chinese guy walked up to him and said, oh, you can't come in here. You have gym shoes on. You can't wear gym shoes. But you had a white woman at the counter that had on gym shoes. Oh, he noticed that. He put that out. He said, oh, you can wear Reeboks, but you can't wear Adidas. But she got on gym shoes, but I can't. Oh, he came up with something. Oh, blah, blah, blah. He came up with something why it was okay. And, of course, he said, and then he talked about T.I., talking about, you know, yeah, you can call T.I., you can do this, that, and the other. You can call him. We're friends, and you can call. This was in Georgia. And he said, oh, you call Keisha Bottoms. You know, all these famous people or so-called famous for the mayor, okay, which is Keisha Bottoms. And he goes, oh, we're really good friends. And, you know, he had already had it set and situated and said what he needed to say. And so the black guy left. He left a Facebook or YouTube, not a YouTube, Twitter for a T.I. And he did talk about what happened at the restaurant. And I'm going to tell you what, I was so disappointed because the T.I. went and talked to the man, the Chinese guy, and he made every kind of excuse why it was okay for that Chinese man to treat this black dude like that, right? When he came to the black man, not one curse word, he was respectful to the Chinese man, everything. When he got to the black man, he was cussing, and he, nigga, I don't even know you, and you talking about you going to give a T.I. da, da, da. He was going in on his brother. I looked at him, and I said, I wish you could have gave that Chinese guy the same energy that you just gave your own. Why didn't you give that same energy to that Chinese man? You didn't give him that energy. You didn't cuss him out. You didn't say nothing disrespectful, but with your own, you went there. Why we always got to go there on each other? You bet on them white folks. You bet on Becky that you thought said was your best friend when she said something out of order, and you just thought it was so funny because you're so safe and she feel like she can call you whatever and say whatever she wants to you, and you can't do nothing but take it because you want to be her friend so bad. Because every now and then she buy you a pair of gym shoes, please. I'm sick of y'all. I'm sick of it. You sit up here and complain, you don't do nothing about it. It's time for us to do something about it. The time is now for us to do something about it. You know what, Melanie? We have more than an inferior complex. I think it's a mindset right now. It's an automatic shift. It's an automatic mindset right now. We automatically think about our oppressor. We put them first. Automatically. Whatever we're doing right now, it's an automatic behavior. We don't even think about it. We just do it. We just come out the gate pleasing white folks. We come out the gate thinking about them first. We come out the gate. I'll stand back and I'm looking at these white folks, and I come to the store at the door, right, and I'm looking at them, and they automatically want you to open the door and hold it open for them. I remember one lady was in back of me, was in a store. She was a white woman. We were in line. I'm trying to think if I was in, I think I was, no, she was in front of me. And she happened to drop something. And she looked at me as if I was supposed to pick it up. I looked down at that thing and stood right there and turned my head. I sure did. Who do you think you are? Girl, she looked down. It was so funny because I looked and it dawned on me what she had did, but it wasn't even in me to pick it up. And see, sometimes I think it's an automatic for them. She automatically looked at me, looked down, and looked at, like, I was supposed to pick her little product up. I remember that because I said to myself, I'm looking at her, I'm like, did she really look down? You know how you be tripping and you know, you're thinking, well, did she just look down at dinner and think I was going to pick it up? That's what I was thinking in my mind, because the way she looked down and looked at me like, you going to pick it up? Or I looked down and didn't turn my head just like I didn't see nothing. Showed it. I'm not your slave. I don't pick up now. I won't even want to bend down for my own stuff. You want me to bend down for yours? I've been enough over the years, and I ain't going to do it now. I'm just saying. This is an automatic for us. It's an automatic mindset for them. It's an automatic. We've been doing it for so long. We've been looking up to them for so long. They just automatically expect us to look up to them. They expect us to do for them. They expect us to automatically just don't do whatever, regardless. Okay? But no, we have to automatically get it in our minds that it's not going to be like that anymore. It's not going to be to where they come first. It's not going to be an automatic to where we're looking out for them first. Or I've seen incidents where the police officer have stopped a black guy, and the black guy commits to whooping on the police's behind. And do you not know we had two black guys that jumped on the black guy that was beating up the police officer and beat him up, the black guy up? That is a mindset. And that's disgusting to me. But it's a mindset that we have to get rid of. It's a mindset that we have to be delivered of. It's a mindset that it's not even a conscious mindset because we automatically go there. We don't even think about how to be free. We don't even think about how to put us first. We don't even think about how we're going to not allow them to press us. We don't even think about that. We've got to get to the place where our first thought is us. Our first thought is our brother. Our first thought is our sister. Our first thought is our mom. Our first thought is us, period. That's what we have to do, and it's all about us changing our mindset. But it's going to take some work because it took a while for us to get here. It's going to take a while for us, but some of us already did. It's 5% that's woke trying to wake up the other 90%, and it's 5% that just don't care. I'm just saying. But we are trying, 5% trying to help wake up 90%. Do you know how hard that is when I'm the only one in the group to think like me? I look at them sometime, and I shake my head, and I'll be like, I'm just looking. I mean, when I'm in a group like that, I can't, because I say what I need to say, but then you got another white person there. Well, you know, we saw the love. That's not what the word say. Show me that. That's not what the word say. If you don't have revelation of the word, and let's stop with Christianity stuff. Let's stop. Because that right there has been the downfall of black America, black folk, period. That Christianity, that was the worst thing they could have ever given you. Y'all was the worst thing y'all could have ever did. Religion. Stop it. Stop it. You don't have the revelation of it. You're talking about something you don't even, that's not what it's talking about. It didn't tell us to love your enemy. It didn't talk about and tell you to love somebody that's blowing your head off. It didn't talk about and tell you to love somebody that's hanging you on trees. It didn't talk about telling you to love somebody that's set your body on fire and you're alive. It didn't talk about that. That's not who they're talking about. They're not telling you to love your enemy. That's not what they're talking about. That's not what the Bible's telling us to do. That's not it. And we'll make crazy excuses and say, well, I had on my Facebook page, and about Deuteronomy 7 and talked about us, you know, not mixing and mingling our seed. Now, our aunt who has loved some white men, okay, was married to one, and she began to say, got mad at me, right, because she was married, you know, had been married to one and have two kids. That's your thing, okay? And she said, that's not what the Bible said. The Bible told us to love. I said, no. You tell me in the Bible where the Bible told me to love somebody that's blowing my head off, that fed my babies to alligators, that cut babies, cut the pregnant women babies out of their stomach and then stomped them to hear. You show me where it told me that I have to love my enemy that's hanging me up on the tree and setting my body on fire. You show me where it told me I had to do that. You show me where it told me I had to do that. That Bible is for Israel and Israel only. That Bible is for Israel. It's talking about your brothers, talking about your fellow man. It's talking about your fellow man. It's talking about your blackness. That's who it's talking about. So now what? Yes, and we always beat up on our own. You know what? It didn't got to a place where we don't even beat up on them. They don't even have to beat up on us because we'll beat up on ourselves before them. Blair, come get Bailey. Take her to the back. It's Papa coming in. Take her in the room. Man, look at her. That's my little granddaughter's doll. But we have to get to the place where Zaire said, yep, black people always beat up on their own on behalf of white folks. It's embarrassing. Yep. Really? Oh, my God. Oh, I can't take it. Melanie, you're blowing my mind with all this crazy stuff. You said, did you catch where the black lady protected that Klansman on Oprah? I think I did see that. That was years ago. I think I did see that. Yep. Non-believer, so even if who's that? I'm doing it. My thing is, we have to really get to the place where that was the worst thing for us. Christianity was the worst thing that we could have did for us, okay? We have to get to the place where we are changing this. And I think it's going to take starting from scratch with our children now. And I'm so glad that we can't go to church now. Churches are shut down. Schools are closed down, okay? This was an opportunity for us to reset some things. When everything shut down, it was a time for us to step into the new. And we got so many people that are still fighting to stay in the old, that we're not being obedient and we're not getting the financial blessings that we should be getting, because some of these teachers out here are supposed to be opening up their own school online. Okay, you can do that right now. And we should have grandmas that are having, there should be a website right now for grandmas. And this website should be for, say, like you have a grandma or an older lady like 50, 60, 70 years old that really does not have anything else to do. And they retired and they're looking for a little bit of, you know, trying to look for, they want to, you know, get a little extra money, make a little extra money a month. Okay. So you can use those little grandmas to come into your home and pay them maybe I'm going to say $100 a week, $80 a week, to just sit there from 8 to 2. Your child goes online 8 to 2, and you are making sure that they are logging on. Then you're making sure that they're keeping up. You're making sure that they're filling out the homework, and you're making sure that they're staying on track. That could be a website that we could set up, and everybody can do it in their city. And you could be helping these single parents that have to go back to work, that you need somebody home with your child because school is out, right? They have Muslim schools. They have other black schools. There's one in Chicago that you can, and Dr. Boyce talks about this one all the time, that it's a black man that has a school in Chicago, and he is doing it online, and you can do it virtually from anywhere. So why aren't we doing that? You can pay grandma. I mean, it's time for us to do for us. Now, if you're really serious about doing some things, I'm giving you ideas. We have to do group economics. We can't do anything. They're not going to give you a loan, but we are worth $1.2 trillion. We can put some of that money into a kitty nationwide and do the things we need to be done. And we put money into those kitties, and we give money out, and then guess what? You put money back into it. Just say like you do your business. You do your business, and you put money into the kitty, and then you give it, you know, you want to start a car wash. Hey, honey, you want to, you know, a mechanic shop. Or if you want to, can you take that off speakerphone? And if you want to do, like, whatever you need, you can have it for, let me go in the room. Hold on. Hold on, you guys. Let me take that off speakerphone. I'm online. So you can pretty much have that kitty, and the kitty that you have, you can use that, and you can help start somebody's business. Say, for instance, if you want a car wash or detailing, or say like you're a mechanic and you want one of those mechanic, what you call those little torques? It's like a carport, okay? You can start in a carport in somebody's driveway. You can rent on somebody's driveway for $50 a week. I'm just trying to come up with ways of us to gain money to start what you really want, okay? And you pay a little bit, okay? You give them the money to start. And once you get your business started, you got 6 months, and you start paying back into the kitty, maybe $100 a week back into the kitty. And that's going to build up the kitty so that the next person can get their business. Maybe one person may want a nursing or a daycare, okay? You take money out of the kitty, give it to them. They have a business plan. You have an attorney working with them, and they got a business plan, and they have a mentor. I mean, all of this can come with the kitty. If I'm going to give you a loan, I'm going to give you a mentor. Somebody's already done it, already doing it, that is succeeding, and you have to work with them and be able to bounce your ideas off that person that's already doing it so that we don't waste money. I'm just saying there's so many different ways of black folks to do this. Say we have caterers down here, okay? You can start in your kitchen, okay? Cater in different parties, cater in entertainment events, okay? We have an event center. You can contract your business through the event center. Okay, it's so many ways that we can do this. We can start like on Saturdays. My daughter had an event thing where people were paying her, and she was helping black-owned businesses, small businesses, to increase their clientele. So they would come there and say, like, you would have a massager, you would have a waxer, you would have a caterer, she did cupcakes, one did meals, one did cupcakes. You would have so many different businesses there. And each business, you would give like a sample of your product. Like, for instance, a massager would give a sample of her massages and charge maybe 15, half an hour for like $10. $10, I think, something like that. Or you can do a half an hour for $15. This was a sample of what she could do, but then every time she would give out her card. And they would come to this center every Saturday, every other Saturday. And they would come to the center, but they paid every other Saturday. They would pay maybe $50 every Saturday. And it was maybe 10 of them in the building, or it could be 15 of them, however many, in one building. But one person could get paid, and that right there is another way of having a business, okay? I'm just trying to help us to get our mindset out of where we need to be. We need to have a mindset of entrepreneurship. And I know everybody does not have a mindset for entrepreneurship. Therefore, the ones that don't have a mindset, just like I told my granddaughter, I've been setting her up for silver. And she wants to have her own beauty shop, okay? And she wants to have multi-level services. She wants to do tanning, tattoos. I don't agree with tattoos, but she wants to do braids. She wants to do brow, eyebrows. She wants to do feet, pedicure, manicures, all of this. And I said, okay, I tell you what. We buy the building. You rent the chairs out. You get 8 people in there. And you charge them $150 a week, okay? I'm just saying, this is for now. you may start with $100 a week for now, just because you're starting out, but in 3 months, we're going to go up to $125, a month, 2 months, we're going to go up to $125, and third month on, we're going to go up to $150. So you're going to grow in spurts. As you grow, your rent grows, and the limit is $150. And I said, if you have 8 people in a shop, in the building, and you might or might not have clientele, but their job is just to pay you a week for their chair, which is $150, $100 starting out, that's $800 if you're paying $100. That's a week. That's $1,600 is $3,000 a month. That's $3,200 a month. Oh, you see what I'm saying? Well, why can't we do, and I can hire people to do, okay, we hire people to come in, and we hire cleaners to clean the building at night. We hire, this is things that we can do to help educate and help promote and help employ our own. We have a factory. If there's something needed in the black community, what's something? I like African attire, okay? Why don't we get a factory that can build that over here? Here, we can get some Africans together. Give us a pattern, okay? We buy the pattern from them, okay? They either make the clothes for us, we can sell it in our thing, or we can get some people, hire some people to make the clothes. They can draw the patterns. We can make the clothes, and we can sell them here. I'm just saying that's education. That's employing black folks. Say, for instance, stuff like this, okay? Why don't we have a place where we can buy stuff here that we need, stuff, you know, made in America by black people for black people, just like we needed a bunch of masks. You had to send to China, who was already mad at you, and they send masks that already was contaminated. Are you kidding? We're going to talk about China. You're going to go there and get stuff from China, and you've already told China how you feel about them. You're going to order stuff from them, and you think they're not going to do something devastating to you? So how you know the mask that they sent us over here wasn't already contaminated, like the white folk did with the Indians when they gave them those small park blankets? How you know that we didn't get corona that way, black family? I'm just saying. Let me read some of these comments. How we doing so far? Okay. Yes, you know what? No, I wasn't ashamed. They just know how I stand. My family knows how I stand. They know how I stand. It doesn't matter. You ain't gonna shame nothing. And I told them why. But we can vote if you want to independent. We need to. I do believe in voting locally, because especially if it's some, you know, because I think we need to get these judges out of here. We need to get the mayors out. We need to get the DAs out, and the Black Caucus, as they go every 2 years. So you had something. Now, Mitch McConnell, in a way, he should have gotten back in office. I'm just saying. Roy Cooper, he got back in. But I'm just saying, Mitch McConnell, it should have been somebody to replace him. So in 2 years, I think they voted in, right? It needs somebody. We need to have somebody in Delaware, Mitch McConnell is in Delaware, right, that can replace him, okay? I'm just saying, we need somebody that can replace Mitch McConnell. Let's get Mitch McConnell out of there. There's no way Mitch McConnell should have had a second term. But I've just given you some ideas as far as how we can rethink here, retrain this, and do our own thing. I believe that we need our own political party. Some people go, you know, complain about that. Well, we can't do this, and we can't do this, and we can't do this. I don't believe that. I believe that we can do whatever we put our mind to it as a group, okay? And we start somewhere, even if we start small, but as long as you start. And some people, you're going to tell them something, and they're going to be like, well, you can't do that. You know, they're going to always have a reason why. Okay, those are not the people that you need to be hooking up with. Let them stand on the side, and those are the ones that will see us moving forward, and they'll join in. Then you're going to have some that's going to sit there, and they're going to look regardless, and they're going to be hooking up with no black folks because they coons anyway, so you don't want them in your midst because them coons will get you killed. So you need, if you got some coons in the midst, you need to keep them coons out of your mix, because you ain't going to come over here mixing and mingling, and then you're going to go over there and tell them all our ideas. So no. And it needs to be a price to pay. When you have a coon, you know we're doing over here, you coming over here messing over here, and you being a traitor, then you'll be dealt with. I'm serious, because some of these traitors have lived to be 90, and some of those traitors that have, like the Black Panther parody, the security dude that traded, you know, that gave the police officers the room and the blueprint of the house, he lived a long life after. I'm just saying, ain't no way in the world he should have been in, you know, he shouldn't have lived to be 80, anything. So if everybody died at 25, he should have died at 26. I'm just saying. I don't have no cards. I'm tired of folks bull crapping around. I'm tired of us being scared to talk. I'm tired of us being scared to say what we need to say. It's time to mean what you say and say what you mean. It's time to move forward. Now, y'all want to do some things, we can do some things. I'm not the one to sit up here and talk about stuff and do nothing. I am willing to do whatever it's going to take to get our mindset right. I'm willing. This is why I come on every month, every day. You know, either I do a Facebook page or I do, you know, either Friday or Thursday. And we come and we talk about what's talking about changing black folks' mindset. And that's what it's about. It's about changing our mindset. Because for way too long, we've been comfortable doing absolutely nothing but complaining about white folks. And they are still doing what they're doing against us. And we're not doing anything different. We're still drinking out. We're still drinking their Kool-Aid. We have our own brand of Kool-Aid. Let's drink our brand of Kool-Aid. Let's switch up and do something different. So with that said, you guys, I did not want to be on here a whole slew of Mondays. I just wanted to come in and come out and just give us a few things. I did push some things out there for us to think about and what it is that we can do to make things different for us. But it is going to take us doing something for us. It's going to take us getting mad and fed up and saying, look, it's time for change, and we're going to change. If nobody else wants to change, we can change. I told you about the 19 families. 19 families that bought 100 acres of land, and they are now building their own cities. And I do believe that they are not going to be the last family that does that. I do believe that it's going to be a whole lot more families doing it. They're just watching to see how they do it. But if they do it, then they need to be training other people how to do it. In the same steps that they took to get the land, to build on it, to get the defense, because I do believe that they need a defense team. You need a defense team before you're going to do anything. Thank you, Melanie. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. But I do believe that we need to get they need to have a page to where they can put the steps and how they did it. And they need a defense. I do believe in NFAC. I believe that they can come and be your defense for you. I believe that we need our own defense. We need our own police department. We need our own hospitals. We need our own clinics, because when COVID hit, if we had our own clinics, I don't believe that many would have died. I believe that they used that COVID as a weapon. They weaponized COVID for us. I believe that they were, you know, they was contaminating a lot of stuff, and we didn't have sense enough to know it. So we was, instead of us wearing our gloves out when you first heard about it, just wearing your mask. We didn't do that. We weren't, you know, we wash our hands a lot. Continue washing your hands and keep your, you know, when you're out, you stay out of people's space. I don't believe the 6 feet has anything to do with it. I believe we just like the flu season. It's, you know, it's just like a flu. You wash your hands with the flu season. Take your vitamin C. Take your raw. I take my raw zinc, and I'm taking everything to boost my immune system. It is time for us to do for us. And if you don't do for us, they're not going to do for you. They're hoping and praying that you stay stuck. They're hoping and praying that you keep depending on white supremacy. They're hoping and praying that you never get there to where you're tired enough to start doing for self. It's up to us. If we're going to be free, it is going to be up to us. So what are we willing to do to be free? That's my question to us. What are we willing to do to be free? If we don't stop drinking their Kool-Aid, we are going to die. Because they already said two-thirds are going to die anyway. And you know why? Because he never told us to mix and mingle. Or Luther King told you to mix and mingle. Yahshua never told us to mix and mingle with our enemies. And for us being disobedient, this is why you're seeing us being killed over and over and over. And I think, I really do believe sometimes he'll let things happen to us to make you run back to him. And we're not doing it. We're running further and further out. And we're really clinging on to our, you know, our oppressor now. You know, we're really clinging on to our oppressor. It's been centuries. We have no excuse. You're right. We don't. It is time for us to do for us. And I don't know. I'm going to keep talking until we get tired, until you get tired and say, okay, we're going to start doing something. Because it is time for us. I don't want us to pay with our lives for being disobedient, for not coming from among them and not learning their ways. We're getting ready to go get into some stuff this next year. I mean, 2020, as you saw, it was a year from hell. It was a year of an eye-opening year. I think 2021 is going to be even more of an eye-opener, and I do believe that we need to be thinking about making an exit as soon as you can. I know people say, well, I built this country, I'm going to die here. You probably will. If you think like that, you probably will die here. I do believe that it is time for us to start making, to for getting our minds set to change the world, to change some things, and to change our thinking. Okay. I am not going to be on here long. I just wanted to kind of come on here and just to open it up and help us think a different way, just take our mindset. But because it's so, I was so disappointed with this election. I thought, wow, we had 45 presidents before this one, and none of them did anything for black people. And we're excited on the 46th one, like he's going to change the world for us. And he is going to change the world, but he's going to make it mandatory for you to take that vaccine. He's going to try to take your guns. And black folk, if you are out of your mind, if you don't have something right now for protection, you are out of your mind. I'm just saying. And you have to know the Constitution and know that if somebody's coming to your house and they're trying to make you take something that's going to cause you death, you don't have to take it. You have to understand that. And it's in your Constitution. You have to read it. If they come and act like terrorists, they need to be dealt with. And you don't leave your house going anywhere with people that say, I'm going to give you a vaccine, and we're going to put you in a FEMA camp because you might contaminate somebody else. No, you're not taking me anywhere. So it is time for us to know that it's going to be real. 2021 is going to be real. The next 4 years is going to be real. And we have no idea what we did by putting Biden in office. We have no idea. We put the nail in our own coffin, and we don't even know it. And we were excited about it. It's almost like I think back on the Jews and the Holocaust and how they put them in those ovens, and they just went, just so with no fight, obediently, and they followed suit, and they didn't want to fight, and they just went to the oven, and they stood there, and they died, and with no fight. I hope that's not going to be us. I hope that's not going to be us. I hope and pray. But with that said, family, I want you guys to have an amazing rest of your day. Think about what we've talked about and think about how we can do things differently. What are you going to do? It's going to start with you. What are you willing to do, and how are you going to change things in your life? It starts one at a time. And if you're listening, or if you come by and you see this video even later after we're done, think about how you can change your life and what changes are you going to make in your life to make things different for you and your family. But that's it. I want you to have an amazing rest of your day and an amazing rest of your week. And look for that other video that I couldn't get on YouTube. I'm going to try to repost it so you will be able to see that blog talk. But that said, family, have a great one, and peace. Blog talk. I am so pleased that you guys came. Thank you for joining, and look for that video, the last week video. It just had music on there. I thought I was taping it at the same time I was doing the way I was doing it today, but for some reason it didn't tape. So I have just music on that one. So I am going to try to do something with that today. So be looking out for that. I appreciate everybody that has joined my blog talk and who have passed it on to family and friends. The numbers are looking great. Keep up the great work. And with that said, you guys have a great one. And we'll see you next Friday. I'm probably going to do another Friday because Friday noon is working really well for me. I don't like to come in from work on Thursday. I'm tired. So I'm not going to try to do it on Friday, on Thursday night. So I'm going to try to do it Friday at 12. All righty. So usually from 12 to 2, be looking for me. But with that said, blog talk, thank you. Have a great day. And peace, family.
From people.